What is Expedition BS plus Oak Island Norse and Templar BS coming up next?
Broadcast daily on your favorite channel, Expedition Bullshit.
Hi, this is Jeff from 8-Bit Rocket Studios, and today we launched the next channel in our slowly growing stable of entertainment, Expedition Bullshit, which we will call Expedition BS from here on out in this video. Our goal here is to discuss, review, and critique paranormal-based media, starting off with The Curse of Oak Island, a show I've been a fan of since 2017. In fact, except for a few shows on UFOs and Bigfoot, I hadn't really given the paranormal much thought, especially the TV production side, until 2017. My sister, who sadly passed away during the pandemic, turned me onto this show, and I continue to watch transfixed every week, hoping they will find a treasure and wondering why the curse is only ever talked about at the beginning of the show. While I certainly enjoy these shows, they are not immune to criticism. Before we go further, here is a list from the original discussion my brother and I had about the tropes, problems, and overused production techniques that we identified about 3 years ago when the first idea for this podcast and channel was germinated. Examining the nomenclature and tropes of paranormal pop history TV shows. We don't really know if any of the paranormal covered on these shows is real, but we do know that these shows are unintentionally funny in a myriad of ways. Our goal is not to debunk paranormal TV shows, but to keep them honest. There is weird stuff in this world, and some of it we have even experienced ourselves. But at the same time, there's no reason to make it weirder with fake narratives, conspiracy trolling, and creative editing. The Gatesosphere. Josh Gates-related shows, which we think are fairly well done. His tropes are more like his dumb jokes, and the fact that he appears to be too old for this crap, so he sends out new people to do his work. He also appears generally happy when something is found. The Oak Island Effect. One of the most popular to both love and loathe shows, and one that has generally created many of the tropes that other shows use to dramatic effect, is The Curse of Oak Island. It's been going on for 11 seasons of actually progressively good entertainment. Needless to say, at least one of us is a huge fan of this show, but it's not immune to creating and using many of the tropes, and it has spawned shows that use many of them, such as The Curse of Civil War Gold and Beyond Oak Island. The Imperialist Supernatural Complex. An imperialist view of the world, usually a bunch of white dudes going someplace and using locals for information only. The Ancient Aliens Problem. This is part of the imperialist supernatural complex, which regards native people as magic, who have secret knowledge to be gleaned, but are rarely part of the show. At the same time, they are considered stupid because there's no way they could have done anything without the aliens' help. The National Park Excuse. This excuse is used by shows when they are sure that they have found the resting place of some ancient artifact, but can't dig because it's a protected area, national park, etc. Otherwise, the mystery would have been solved. Copying homework. This occurs when a show pretends to send their investigative team on a mission to find things, but in reality, the work has already been done by experts that producers have located, and the entire show is just a way to pretend the host is onto something when it was really someone else's work. The Gatesosphere is very guilty of this. The bottomless pit appears in shows where digging is essential and never-ending. The question is, if they find anything, will the show then be over? Seasons upon seasons of digging and digging. This is also called a Shaggy Dog Story. The Shaggy Dog Story. Shows that obviously can never find an answer because there would be no show anymore. So they always bait the next season with some kind of cliffhanger reveal in the last episode. The O. Henry Ending. The O. Henry Ending comes in the very last episode of a season and makes the rest of the season moot. The Lost Gold of World War II is guilty of this. Conspiracy trolling and baiting. This happens when a show defaults to the government is keeping this from us to suggest a conspiracy when most likely there isn't one. It must be a ghost or Bigfoot. This occurs when shows default to paranormal when something happens, especially when sounds are heard at night. The Mysterious Benefactor. The examples are Brandon in Skinwalker Ranch and to a lesser extent, Josh in Expedition X. This is the Charlie to the angels who are doing the investigation. He either appears to be a rich person funding anything or he is the boss, and the investigators rely on this person for information and funding. Expedition Bigfoot does this with Bryce, who never gets his hands dirty. This also spawns the War Room. The War Room is a room where everyone gathers to explain the narrative and spoon-feed the audience with information that they have just seen, compare notes, fake spontaneous Zoom calls, or any other kind of studio activities. War rooms can also be mobile, where the cast are just staring at an iPad where we hear the voice and sometimes see the video of a benefactor. Science for non-science majors. This happens when non-scientists appear to use science to prove things. An example is electromagnetism that is used to explain everything. Also, when we are presented with hosts that have degrees in something like archaeology or biology, and we're supposed to then believe that they're experts in all science or history. The Ghostosphere. A team of professional or non-professional investigators use a truckload of supposed science or science-like gadgets, spirit boxes, wireframe sprite detectors, heat source trackers, and other things to show their shaky evidence. The Tower of Babel. This occurs when an investigator attempts an EVP session in the language that the ghost would never understand, or referencing events they would never know about. For example, talking to Native Americans in English, or talking to Civil War soldiers about the Civil War, which is most likely not what they called it. Vacuuming. Events in the show happen in a vacuum. This vacuum does not take into account other shows or events. For example, Expedition X Season 3 Episode 6 speaks of trying to get Luis Lou Elizondo to talk to them as if he's some kind of secret source, when he's the same guy who starred in Unidentified on the History Channel. Lazy insertion. This occurs when a funny moment is inserted into a show that was obviously filmed in a different location and time, and then plopped into the narrative. The Gasosphere is very guilty of this, and so is Oak Island, but it's not usually funny in Oak Island. Josh Gates started this with the funny travelogues he did in the first season of Expedition Unknown. A Scully and Mulder moment. A moment when the hosts play believer or non-believer to discuss a topic and drain the X-Files energy in the process. Radio silence, when a show is edited to get maximum value out of someone not responding on the radio. A tendency to view military and police reports as gold standard, but also a tendency to view the government as hiding lots of things as classified. Here are some added mini tropes that are mainly used to add production value to these shows. Night vision. Thermal cameras. Drones and robots. Very heavy editing. Folksy accents. Scripted over-explanation of a subject. Surprise at things they never should be surprised at. Pretending there's no crew or camera with them. There is a person who is famous for something else. Cast members with new job titles like Spiritual Investigator when last week they were on G4 or Big Brother. Shiny objects. Things to find, be it gold, artifacts, portals to other dimensions, and other things that are part of the hunt, but not necessarily the final goal, because they'll most likely never be found. AI. AI is the new hotness. Basically, use on these shows is image recognition. From the skeleton Rico on Ghost Adventures to the DAP camera, it's all AI models used to classify and sort data. But those models are based on existing data, and anyone can make an AI model. Models are subject to heavy bias based on the data they are trained with, and if not made correctly, they can easily identify things in categories where they don't belong. Since starting to watch Oak Island, I've added all the Josh Gates shows, all the Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters variants, Skinwalker Ranch, and many, many more to my weekly watching. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of these shows' productions. We will be discussing the subjects of these shows, but not really trying to debunk the paranormal, unless it's obviously fake. We'll give them their due, a summary, and commentary, but along the way point out the tropes, overused ideas, and made-up drama they may or may not contain. At the end of each video, I'll give the media being examined a BS score from 1 to 10, 1 being very little to no BS, and 10 being a show filled with more BS than anything else. Let's get started with The Curse of Oak Island, Season 11, Episode 18, May the Norse Be With You. When I started watching The Curse of Oak Island in 2017, I was actually concentrating on the curse and paranormal aspects of the show rather than the treasure hunt. Supposedly, 6 men have died trying to find the treasure, and one must die before the treasure can be found. The island is in the North Atlantic near Nova Scotia, and 2 brothers, Rick and Marty Lagina, along with a respectable crew of treasure hunters, scientists, and skilled laborers, work during the spring and summer months up until the snow and rain of the fall, searching multiple locations on the island with more and more expensive equipment to find some sort of treasure that supposedly was placed there more than 250 years ago. The curse isn't really talked about much on the show, except when it seems they are about to make a discovery and fail to do so. Then they'll blame it on the curse. That's the summary of the premise of the show. There are tons of resources on Oak Island, and I have to say, I've never really read many of them. But I listen to the incredible, weekly, unaffiliated with the show podcast called Diggin' Oak Island with Dave McBride. If you're interested in Oak Island, you should subscribe to this podcast. This episode opens in the Garden Shaft area, where the major discovery of a potential tunnel running through the Money Pit area to the shaft and supposedly through to an area that has been scientifically proven to have large trace amounts of precious metals has been thwarted by, let's just say, the curse. Let's talk about the Money Pit first. I've never read officially why it's called that, but I can think of an obvious reason. All the money that has gone into this search for the last 200 years is like throwing money into a big pit and burning it. The name is actually the place where the treasure was supposedly first hidden, with many booby traps such as flood tunnels and curses stopping people from finding it. The team comes to the conclusion that it looks like someone might have actually removed or dismantled the tunnel, or it collapsed. As Rick and Marty both say every time something goes wrong, it's a learning opportunity as to what might have happened, and it's a pivotal moment. The result is they're going to take some of the rosehead nails and timbers from the tunnel and try to carbon date the construction. The narrator tells us that the next segment is supposedly the same afternoon. This is one thing that almost every Oak Island fan complains about. They make up drama when they don't need to, with a little bit of clever editing. And I'll point it out, but it doesn't ruin the show at all for me. At least Oak Island doesn't script infighting and other crap drama that seems to be added to many other similar shows. Still, it probably is not later that afternoon. Anyway, Dr. Doug Simmons, a retired professor of... let me check here, of psychology, shows up to give yet another, as they call them on the Diggin' Oak Island podcast, a crackpot session. So-called crackpots come to the island and give the team lectures on their theories of what actually happened on the island. And seriously, along with the scientists and archaeologists, the crackpots are one of my favorite parts of the show. They actually cut these sessions into about 15 minutes of airtime, when actually, in fact, they probably last a couple hours or an entire day. This one has to do with Nolan's Cross, having been created by the Knights Templar with help from Scandinavian Norse Vikings. The Norse seem to have been in North America in the 1000s and may have traveled as south as Oak Island and Newfoundland. The gist is that the Templars moved the Ark of the Covenant along with other religious artifacts stolen or recovered during the Crusades, and after being hunted down as heretics by the Catholic Church because they believed in some wild-ass stuff, the Templars, according to Doug Simmons, used the Vikings, who supposedly participated in the Crusades, helping the Templars sail to North America and help them bury the artifacts. This seems to make sense to the team because they have found a few Scandinavian artifacts on the island. This show seems to make a huge deal out of finding wood, and like a teenage boy, I make fun every time they get excited about, well, finding wood. Now to my favorite part of the show, the actual archaeologist on Lot 5. The people who are doing the best work on this island, but the ones whose names we rarely learn, are the archaeologists. This is a huge disservice to the show that these actual scientists are not put more up front, as they do a lot of backbreaking labor and actually work to preserve the artifacts that they find. Archaeologist Helen uncovers a copper coin, which is found in the deep layer of the foundation of a mysterious structure on the lot. A Lagina brother, Marty, shows up, hoping for gold as always, but is still a little excited by the copper coin because it helps pinpoint that people were using this structure far before the 1780s and well before the original Money Pit discovery. Helen basically epitomizing the phrase, "Let the women do the work," finds another artifact, a long squarehead forged spike. This type of nail was most likely for a non-domestic structure, so what was initially thought of as a foundation and basement of a small house may now turn out to be something much bigger. Marty says this might indicate that it was a camp for people working on the island. But what he doesn't say, and probably doesn't even believe, but is almost always implied by the show using Oak Island TV logic, is that by definition, Lot 5 was now used as a base to hide Templar stolen artifacts in a money pit so Freemasons can retrieve them when the New World Order is to come about. Or something like that. Next up is Carmen Legg. Carmen is another true star of this show, as a red Corvette driving genius of blacksmithing that can usually identify any piece of corroded metal at 10 paces. But this time, he needs another star of the show, Emma, a certified metallurgist and real scientist, to help identify items using the cool toys the brothers have outfitted her lab with. Seriously, when I first started watching the show, they had to drive from the island to bring artifacts to Carmen at his blacksmith shop and to universities to do analysis. The show and the Lagina brothers have now outfitted the island in the last 5 years with a bat cave level of awesome equipment and people to manage it, so traveling to get analysis done is now not needed. The Skyscan 1273 CT is used to scan the smaller of the two Gary Drayton top pocket finds pulled from the debris of the garden shaft, and they use the XRF, the X-ray fluorescence spectrometer, on the larger of the two objects. The XRF uses supposedly harmless radiation to reveal elements that make up an object. Harmless radiation is why they put a heavy lead jockstrap on you at the dentist before they take pictures of your teeth. Anyway, the CT scan also uses X-rays, but is used to create a 3D model of an object's shape under the corrosion. As you will be able to tell as this channel goes forward, the real science behind much of these activities is what really draws me to the shows, as much as the secrets in paranormal activities, and sometimes even more. Emma helps Carmen and the boys come to the conclusion that the first or larger artifact found in the garden shaft tunnel could have been used as a fastener on a chest, of course, or to hang a lantern, and not for constructing a structure like a tunnel. The second smaller artifact is a hand-wrought square nail or spike. Finding fasteners and spikes is pretty common on the island, but receiving some actual info like Carmen saying the spike probably dates back to the 1400s and Emma saying is from older iron sources makes finding these more interesting than most. They already have info that the garden shaft was probably constructed 100 years before the discovery of the money pit. So more mysteries and just a little more clarity. And as Rick says, the year will be a success if they can at least date the garden shaft back before the money pit discovery. Note, every time I typed the word shaft into the original draft of this document, it came out as shart. Take that for what it's worth. Next up, and supposedly the same day, but come on, they're back in the swamp. Billy, Steve Guptill, and Gary excavate an interesting feature in the swamp's southeast corner and find more wood. Actually, it turns out Fred Nolan, father of Gary Nolan, a current member of these dig operations, and one of the OG treasure hunters on the island, reportedly found a wooden wall or dam that might indicate the swamp was artificially constructed to hide something, possibly a ship, as the narrator says, all the time. Rick and geoscientist Ian Spooner come to look at the feature, and Ian looks for a connection to the nearby stone road they've been uncovering in the swamp for the last 3 seasons. It's possibly a wall, plus a new wooden feature built with older wood, far down in a gully near the stone road. Ian says that the goal for them is now to find red sediment that matches the stone road, which would then historically connect this wood to the road, and possibly as a platform for ships to dock their cargo. And, well, that's where the show ends, with the narrator trying to loosely tie what has been edited and supposedly discovered in this boxed-in weekly time frame that the TV production allows. I'm glad we started with this, as it's one of my favorite shows and a quality production. The Curse of Oak Island is the top of the heap for shows like this, with great production and an interesting topic. The editing of the show and non-follow-up of some of the finds and loose ends is what seems to anger fans the most. Okay, so here's our final BS evaluation for The Curse of Oak Island and Season 11, Episode 18. Obviously, they get a point for being named one of the tropes, the Oak Island effect, so that's one. The money pit is the definition of a bottomless pit, so that's two. They basically created the war room on these type of shows, so that's three. The show's editing is the epitome of lazy insertion and time compressing and expanding for dramatic purposes, so that's four. The narrator and production overly explains everything and makes false assumptions and conclusions, so that's five. The show started out looking for treasure, and while they still are, there are numerous shiny objects that they set out to find every episode, so that's six. On the BS meter, 1 being no BS and 10 being a show full of BS, this show and the entire series comes out looking pretty good, at 3 so far. They got 6 tropes, and each one is worth half a point. This show uses real science, real experts, and there may be pits and shiny objects, but the search is real. There's not a lot of BS, there's some Shaggy Dog storytelling and convenient editing, but altogether, it's a pretty decent show. Okay, that's it for this episode of Expedition BS. Thanks for watching. Please like and subscribe so you'll be notified of the next episode.
An 8-Bit Rocket Studios production.